I was thinking about this, the camping trip that we went on back in the summertime, and we had this, I brought a little rocket there, and then the rocket was supposed, what it was supposed to do is go up and take a picture, goes up in the air, into orbit, and when it flips over, it's supposed to take a picture as it's coming back down. But the only bad thing, it didn't work. You know, they need to tell you that at Walmart, that, you know, this is a great idea, this rocket. It's just one of the bad news is it doesn't work. They need to put that on the labels. But we would have our countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. Blast off. And I was listening to, just recently, a tape by Tony Evans, where he said, trials are the launching pad for your next level of spiritual growth. Trials are the launching pad for your next level of spiritual growth. And it got me thinking about this rocket and the launching pad and just the concept. Sometimes there are concepts that just stick in your head. And that was one right there. Trials and temptations are the launching pad for your next level of spiritual growth. And so the imagery is you have this launching pad, and it goes up to an orbit to your next, you go higher and higher and higher to your next level of spiritual growth. I'd like to begin by turning to James 1 and verse 2. James 1 and verse 2. And discuss the many tests that we as Christians have to go through. And I want to look at the concept of passing the test. Passing the test. James 1 and verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him." But notice verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different tests, trials, temptation." Now, I'm going to tell you, if anything, I try to avoid trials, tests, temptations. I don't like them. I mean, I don't like them at all. But this is telling us to count it all joy when you fall into diverse or different trials and temptations. One of the things that he pointed out, Tony Evans, is that he used the example of the emergency broadcast system, if you remember that, that piercing noise that would come on your radio or TV. And, you know, this is a test. And it would always come on at the wrong time, you know, in your favorite program, or you're just really getting into something, and here comes the test. Well, that's how our tests are that come to us. They come when you least expect it. You're not planning for it, totally unaware. Here comes a test into your life. And I think about in school taking a test. You know, in school, if the teacher is good, she will not test you on anything that she doesn't know that you have the ability or the knowledge to pass it. I mean, the teacher doesn't get up and say, we're going to have a test. You know, an English teacher doesn't get up and say, we're going to have a test on mathematics. No. She will test you on what, if she's good, if he's good, they will test you on information that they know you have the ability to pass the test. And I think God is the same way, that he will test you on only things that you know, that he knows that you have the ability to win out, to pass the test. It doesn't mean that we don't sometimes fall flat on our face, because we do. Now, look at verse 12 through 14 of James 1. James 1 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Notice, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, testing, trials that come into our life. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So it talks about endurance, the trying of your faith. It talks about the patience, the tests that come our way. And God uses it's not necessary for God to really to send us a temptation. I think we are tempted, as it says here, through our own lust that comes through our five senses. You know, that's how a lot of trials come our way, a lot of temptations, through our lust that comes through our own five senses. You know, sometimes we say the devil made me do it. But one of the things that I'm aware of is how little the devil is involved in my own personal struggles. I know the devil is the god of this world and he influences the culture, but as far as him attacking me, I think most of my trials, tests, temptations just come through my own weaknesses, my own lust of the flesh, and that's when the test comes my way. So God, just like a student, a teacher in class, what the teacher will do, the teacher will continue to test you on an area until you pass the test. In other words, if it means staying in the seventh grade 10 years, you know, I'm gonna keep giving you the same test until you pass the test. And I think God is the same way. God will continue to test us until we pass the test. Now, why do we fail the test so often? The trials, the temptations that come our way. Why do we fail them so often? Because I know I have in my own personal life fallen flat on my face. Why do we fail? One of the reasons we fail is because we refuse to take the test. We refuse to take the test. You know, just like the rebellious student that comes in and says, I'm not taking this test. You know, I'm not going to do it. You know, signing your name at the top of the paper is not good enough. You have to take the test. Sometimes we yield to the temptation before the test begins. You know, the way we tell God, I'm not interested in taking the test, is by failing to, is by yielding to the temptation. That's one of the ways we say to God, God, I'm not willing to take this test, when we just simply yield to the temptation. We don't look at it as a test. You know, it's like the phrase, I can resist all things except temptation. Some of us live our lives like that, you know. I'm not willing to take the test. I heard a story about a golfer who he tees up and he swings and he misses the ball. He swings, he misses it the second time. He swings, he misses it the third time. And he says, boy, this is a tough course. You know, he looks at his friends in frustration and says, this is a tough course. Well, he hadn't even gotten to the course yet. You know, he hadn't started to take the test yet. And I sometimes think that can be us. We fail to take the test. The tests will come and we have to take them. We have to be willing to take them. The trials, the tests that come our way. Another reason we fail is what I call the beautiful loser mentality. It's the concept, well, I failed once, and there's no use trying again. You know, back in school, I can remember there were people who were failures and took pride in it. You know, the beautiful loser mentality. That was a song by Bob Seger, Beautiful Loser. You know, it's easier and faster when you fall. Well, it is easier and faster to fall. The beautiful loser mentality. The school dropout. And of course, in our educational system, I sometimes have a problem with that children who are slow learners are sometimes looked at as, they're called failures. You know, you didn't pass this, and so you have to repeat the grade again. I sort of have a problem with that because it does damage to your self-image to be called a failure. They shouldn't call you a failure, it's just that you're a slower learner. A lot of students, when they're perceived to be a failure in school, what did they do? They dropped out. You know, I'm just give up right here. So that's the beautiful loser mentality is another reason why we fail the test of temptation. The third one is maybe we have not studied or prepared for the test. We haven't studied or prepared for the test that comes our way is one of the reasons we fail. You know, what does the Bible say about your trial, your temptation that you're going through? Do you know? Have you studied to see what does the Scripture say about this dilemma that I am going through? To collect all the Scriptures, to put them down on paper, even to record them on cassette and play them as you drive down the road. What the Scripture says about your particular trial, struggle, temptation that you're going through. A lot of times we don't even know what it says. We guess, we think, we know a few scriptures, but we don't know what it says about what we're going through. So, again, trials and temptations are the launching pad that leads us to our next level of spiritual growth. It's the launching pad that leads us to that next level of spiritual growth. A lot of times we feel, we say, you know, I'm out of touch with God. God is out of reach. God is on another level. And my understanding of God is not what I'd like it to be. And yet the Scripture comes along in Jeremiah and it says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. We are expected to know God's will and to know what God wants from us. Scripture plainly says so. So when we feel, Lord, I'm out of touch, I'm out of reach, Lord, you're on another level, way up there, you seem so far away, the statements are true. We must reach that next level of spiritual growth. Trials and temptations are the launching pad for your next level of spiritual growth. We must reach that next level by passing the test. You know, spiritual growth is not about a new concept, a new doctrine. You know, well, I have a better understanding now of God. That's not where spiritual growth comes from. Spiritual growth comes by passing the tests that we encounter through the lust of the flesh, however they come our way, by passing the tests. Look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. Says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God puts a lot of emphasis on our trials and our tests, our struggles, our temptations that we go through. But to try the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold and silver. Trials and temptations are the launching pad for your next level of spiritual growth. I'm going to wear that statement out. Now, I think of the scripture in Hebrews that says, though, speaking of our Savior, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. I think the example of the life of Christ, that he too had to learn, that he too had the tests that he had to face. And, you know, I do not believe that Christ at age 5 said, I'm the Son of God, I've got to die for the sins of the world. I don't think that's age inappropriate knowledge. I think if anything, the Father probably held that back in order not to be so disturbing at age 5. But I think as he grew older, at age 12 he's in the temple talking to the priests and the preacher, priests and rabbis or whatever, and they're amazed at his knowledge. I think like a recovery process, a bump on the head, as he begins to get these visions of his purpose, his meaning, what he's about to do, that it gradually it came to it. And that Christ's life was full of launching pads that led him to the next level of spiritual of growth in his own personal life. And with each level of growth, it became clearer and clearer as to what he was to do, his mission, his purpose, as he would pass the test himself. He too had to pass the test. Many of us, I think, are confused sometimes. We see glimpses of what we think God wants us to do, and yet we don't see the whole picture. Why do we not see the whole picture? We get glimpses of it. It's because that next level, that opportunity, that test that God holds out for us to pass. And you know, trust me, I'm not saying I'm there, but I'm just realizing the tests are there for a purpose. They're there for a purpose. They are the ultimate spiritual growth builder, the ultimate closeness to God, that the very thing that we sometimes avoid, and that is taking the test, is the thing that builds the most character within us. In other words, the life of Christ, he was tested in many areas. There came a day when Satan came to him and said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he passed the test. He passed that test. And I think once that test was passed, that he had a better understanding than ever before, that I am that bread of life. Unless you eat of me, you know, you don't have any life in you. I think that the vision of that became clearer by passing the test. Another test was the devil said, showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And he passed the test. And I think by passing the test, it became clearer the vision that he would qualify to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings, over and above Satan the devil. That vision became clearer and clearer as each test presented itself. I mean, just what would have happened if he hadn't passed the test? Well, he wouldn't have moved on to that next level. And I want us to understand just how critical our temptations, our trials that come our way are of what God holds out for us. And then there was the greatest test, or one of the greatest tests of all, in the garden that night when he prayed, fell on his face and said, if it's possible, let this cup fall, you know, pass from me. Three times. What a test that was. And the third time after he had prayed, he said, well, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And then immediately, the soldiers came to arrest him. I think that must have been like because of that struggle, that emotional struggle that was going on in his life, I think that when they arrested him, that must have been like a ton of bricks off of his back. Because not that he didn't have much more to face. Oh, he had much more to face, but just that emotional, wanting it to pass, wanting another way. And then once the arrest was made, you know, well, I made it to another level, another step. So I believe the scripture that says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. You know, if the Son of God had to be tested, what about us? What about us? Do we run from? Do we yield to the temptation so quickly? Am I going to take the test? What about us as common people? Look at Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. Back to Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. And you shall remember all the, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, and you shall remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, notice, to test thee, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. You know, the message that Kelly gave, the choice between, you know, which will I do, whether you would keep it or not. But it says that there was a proving, a testing, 40 years in the wilderness. Of course, a lot of that test was the fact that one of the tests was a Sabbath day, that every Friday evening it would rain down twice as much manna. And they were told, go gather, you know, enough so you don't have to work on the Sabbath. That went on for 40 years, raining down twice as much Friday evening so that they, the hard-headed, you know, stiff-necked Israelites could gather twice as much and not be out there on the Sabbath day. To me, that tells me the Sabbath is important to God. It may not be important to a lot of people, but it's important to God that he would do that and set such an example, such a test as that. I think of Gideon when he was told, by 300 men that lap will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands. You know, here God says, reduce your army. You know, that's not how you win a battle. You don't win a battle by decreasing your army. You win it by increasing. And yet this was a test. This is how, you know, a test that came their way. Turn back to, in closing here, to Genesis 22. I want to look at another great example of being tested. Genesis 22. Starting in verse 1, Genesis 22. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did test or tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and the lad, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Notice that statement. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. You know, I can only imagine what this scene was like. I imagine that as Abraham walked up that mountain, he was probably looking for a ram. He had in a thicket. You know, he probably wanted to find one at least. You know, he probably looking all over the place. Where is this lamb or ram hid in the thicket? I hope I find one. And I think the test that Abraham had to take was, I think he had to follow through all the way to the point of having the knife in his hand, but that wasn't good enough. And actually the thrust downward. And then something caught his hand, an angel caught his hand and said, stop. Now I know. In other words, he had to go through the full action of the test. You know, the complete test. God had to know, you know, what to go through what he was going to do. And then he was stopped. You know, I think for a lot of us, we have our own ram hid in the thicket. Some of you who hear this tape, you might have you might be looking for a partner, a husband, a wife, That's your ram in the thicket. And it's there, but you just don't see it because you haven't passed the test. It might be a job opportunity, the ultimate job opportunity. That's your ram hidden in the thicket. But you don't see, it's there, but you don't see it because you haven't passed the test. For some of us, we're searching for God's will. That's our ram in the thicket. To know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will, that thing that makes you come alive. You know, don't ask what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes the world makes you come alive. And go do that. Because what the world needs are people who have come alive. That might be our ram in the thicket. But we don't see it yet because we haven't passed the test. I think we have, you know, our ram in the thicket. Trials and temptation are the launching pad for your next level of spiritual growth. I think Christ never let an opportunity pass by him. I think when they came his way, those trials and tests, that he would begin that countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here it is. This is my opportunity for another level of spiritual growth. And in a way, attitude is everything. When we face our trials and our tests, I saw a shirt, a woman was wearing a shirt at the store up here. It said, attitude is everything. And I commented, I said, no, you know, no statement has ever been truer. Attitude is everything. And I think that is important. And what I want us to learn is the courage to face the test. Because I don't think we fully realize what is on the other side of passing the test. You know, just like Abraham, who couldn't see that ram in the thicket. It must have been the quietest ram ever in the thicket. It must have not made a bit of noise or anything. Just like he couldn't see it until that ultimate test was passed. And then all of a sudden, there it is. Just as crystal clear, the ram in the thicket. Now, I want to ask you to say something with me. This is a recital here. Three short statements. And the three little short statements, and the last one, the last statement you'll make, as the old saying goes, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. You can carry that home with you and just count on it. It's true in my life, and I imagine it's true in your own life. Here's the statement. Repeat after me. I have a ram hid in the thicket. I cannot see my ram hid in the thicket because I haven't passed the test.